Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As the end of the calendar year approaches, so does Christmas Day. This is the time of the year where there is a lot of hustle and bustle. Right? Everyone is going around doing different things. You know, you're either decorating your house or cutting down a Christmas tree or shopping or caroling or doing something else that is related to Christmas. People are rushing around and making their preparations and joining in the festivities, and it's good. It all leads us forward to the main event, Christmas Day. You know, many people look forward to this time of the year, and I'm certain some people dread it too. But love it or hate it, it's so easy to get lost in the season of Christmas. To prepare everything and spend weeks and weeks getting everything ready, and then all of a sudden you blink your eyes for one day and it's all over. After all, the decorations are only up for a few short weeks. Now, I'm not trying to be the Scrooge of Christmas. But in our text for today, we hear about another work of preparation, preparing for the coming Jesus. Our text began this way. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. You see, John came as sort of like that crazy guy you might see the caricature of. You know, he's got the cardboard sign and crudely written with Sharpie marker, it says, the end is near. That is exactly who John the Baptist is. He preaches about the coming of the end. And the truth is that he is sort of a crazy man of sorts, right? Living in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey, wearing camel's hair, of all things, which sounds very scratchy. The picture we get in Scripture is that John looks and acts like a total weirdo, right? Totally contrary to the people of his day, totally contrary to the rest of the world. And now in our own day and time, if we might look at the weirdo on the street corner holding his cardboard sign warning us about the end of the world, and immediately what we do is we dismiss him because that guy is crazy. But John, on the other hand, was telling the truth. The kingdom of God had arrived. You know, this is right before Jesus begins his public ministry. And so by this point, Jesus is like 30 years old. Okay, but the truth is that many people had not yet heard about him. He hadn't yet gone around publicly proclaiming God's word. He hadn't started doing his miracles yet. And so John was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. And he did it by preaching repentance and baptizing. He told people to turn from their sin. That is what repentance means. It means to turn away from your sinful life and turn towards the message of salvation. John prepared people for Jesus to come. And they were ready. You know, at John's time, before Jesus starts his public ministry, you know, the people have been waiting for this promised Messiah, this promised Savior, who would save them from all of their oppression, who would save them from all of their sin. And so when this crazy guy comes and starts preaching about how the coming one has arrived, at the very least, their interest was piqued. People listened to John's message, and what did they do? They repented. They followed the message. They believed his message. And when Jesus starts his public ministry, they're ready. They're ready to follow Jesus. But we can't help but think about this and go, well, that was 2,000 years ago, right? There is no John the Baptist to come and preach a message of repentance today. You know, we've already been prepping for Christmas this past week. We already know that Christ came as a baby, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. We all know the story. We all know about his earthly ministry. We know about the miracles he did. We all know about his death and his resurrection. But the truth is that John's message is still for you. It's true. Because even though Christ has already come to earth and there is nothing left to do to prepare for his birth, but since we all know this story so well, we might remember the very last part of what Jesus did on this earth, at least in bodily form. He ascended. Jesus was lifted up into the clouds, taken up into heaven bodily. In fact, we confess it in the Creed every week. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus left that he might come back. And so we wait and we prepare for the coming of Jesus just as they did in John's time. And in fact, the message is the same. There are two ways in which we are to prepare. First, live a life of repentance. That means turning away from our sins. That means when that little sinful voice inside of each of our head tells us to do what's wrong, we don't listen. We don't do what we know God has told us not to do. Instead, we do what is right. We squash that voice within us. But the truth is that we won't always do it perfectly. It is so much easier to give in. It is so much easier to do what feels right. And in those times, that is when repentance is the most important. Because repentance leads us to Jesus. It leads us to the forgiveness. It leads us to salvation. It leads us to the church building, where God himself uses the voice of a humble pastor to tell you that though you are not strong enough to resist the temptation to sin, for those who are repentant, for those who feel bad, your sins are forgiven. That is how we prepare. The second way is also mentioned by John. It's to make the paths straight. You see, the only difference is that now you and I are called to make the paths straight. Just as John came and prepared for the first coming of Jesus, we now prepare for the second coming of Jesus. We're called to use those gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us to prepare the world for Jesus. And first and foremost, that means the Holy Spirit, the first gift you were given in faith, the gift that was given in baptism, as God claimed you as his own child. This Holy Spirit empowers you not only to know that you're forgiven, but it empowers you to live a life in preparation. The Holy Spirit empowers you to tell others about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers you to carry this message out of the church into the rest of the world. And part of that means acting like John, telling people when they need to repent, telling the world what is sinful and wrong, not because you're mean, but because you desire them to be ready for Jesus, that you desire for them to be ready to receive the gospel message that Jesus dies for all sin. But the truth is that as we carry this message out into the world, you're going to be labeled. Maybe as strange. Maybe as a weirdo, like John. Maybe more familiar in our culture is unloving. But the truth is that labels are not. Time is running short. Jesus is coming again, and every day is a day closer to that time. You know, for real, we all sort of should have, you know, our proverbial cardboard signs that read, "The end is near." And even though we might be labeled, it would be far better for the world to hear and believe the message of Jesus Christ than for us to remain silent. And so what about you? Do you know someone who could benefit from hearing about Jesus? Do you know someone who might need to repent of their sins and receive the Lord? Of course you do. We all do. In fact, even in our own families, even in our own circles, there are those that we are so deeply concerned about who have either forsaken the faith they once had or just simply have never believed. The truth is, God's concerned about them too. In fact, God is so concerned about these people, these same people that you worry about. He was so concerned that he blessed Zechariah and Elizabeth with the birth of a baby named John, so that he could prepare the way for the Savior of the world. God is so concerned about those you love that he sent his only son into this world to preach about the forgiveness of sins, to preach repentance, to preach so that you might believe and those you care about. He was so concerned about his people that Jesus was born. In fact, Jesus is concerned too. Think about Jesus' life. He is so concerned about you that he lives a perfect life. So concerned about those you love that he does life perfectly. And then he does the only thing that will alleviate your concern. He does something about it. He buys a way out of our mess. He buys a way out of our sin. He buys a way out of our oppression. Not for himself, but for us. He pays for us with his own blood. Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus pays for our concern with his last breath. And he tells us there is no need to be concerned any longer, because salvation is for all people. His death, his resurrection, it was for you. It was for those you think about every day. And yes, even as Jesus lives the perfect life, he's shamed. He's mocked. He is called names. But that doesn't bother him. Instead, he willingly accepts the abuse because that's how much he cares. Because that's how much you mean to him. And that's how much this world means to him. That's how much he is loving. He suffers all for your sake and my sake and the sake of the whole world. He pays the price. See, when it comes down to it, the truth is that Jesus has really done all the preparation himself. He has prepared the way of eternal life. He has prepared the way of salvation by his own cross and his blood, and by walking out of death back into life. Jesus has conquered every problem that afflicts us. But this very same Savior who declares your sins are forgiven by what he does gives you faith. And he strengthens that faith as you repent of your sin. He strengthens that faith as you believe the message of forgiveness. And he implores you to carry that message of repentance and faith to the rest of the world, to make the path straight for his second coming. And the preparations in these latter days, they aren't only for a few weeks. They aren't only just until Christmas time. But the preparations we make today and tomorrow and next month and the month after that, they are for all eternity. You see, God has placed us into our own lives on purpose, so that you and the whole world might be prepared by being baptized, by believing in Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your preparation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.